I have prepared a short lesson on reasons to study the Bible. Now, I really wanted to title this Study Your Manual, but I was afraid how many people might get up and go to their vehicle to get their manual, so their owner's manual, and I didn't want to disrupt church, so I left it the way it is. And it really reminded me of Zane and I. He asked me, a couple months before summertime, he said, "Hey, I've got this old dirt bike, and I would like to get it running for the summer so I can ride it around and, you know, ride it back and forth to Pappy's house whenever I'm working and, you know, and have a little fun." And I said, "Yeah, I don't mind. You'll bring it over and we'll get parts for it. And once it starts getting warmer, we'll work on it." So he brought it over and we started messing with it and taking, it already had the cylinder and the head off and everything. And so we had to clean it up, take the plastics off, you know, get everything prepared. And I said, "Do you have a manual for it?" He's like, "Oh man, I think we've got one somewhere, but I don't know." And so him and Sean searched, and oh, I guess the next week he brought it to church, and I said, "Well, good." And I started looking it over because I wanted to know how it needed to be done. I've fixed several four-wheelers, redid a motor, I've replaced two heads and, piston, cylinder, all that stuff on a four-wheeler. I've never done it on a dirt bike, but I figured it was the same concept. But I wanted to know exactly what I was doing. I didn't want to put it together and a week later it be broke because we did something wrong. We didn't do it the right way, you know. So I guess kind of going through this made me think of the Bible as a manual, and which made me think of helping Zane fix his dirt bike. So, and we took our time and we got the parts and we put it together the way the manual said to do it. We did it the right way. We didn't skip corners. And as far as I know, it's still running today. So, and that was a few months ago when we finished that. But the part of the reason I decided on this topic was because it's something that I struggle with. I struggle with sitting down to study my Bible. I struggle with taking the time to do it. I come up with excuses for it. I've talked to my wife about it. We've talked about having just a daily devotional for her and I to do together as a couple, because we had found a little deal online that we did. Until the series ran out and we had to pay for it. And so we did that for a while and we enjoyed it. So anyway, that brought me to this subject. And I've prepared a few points. Obviously, there are more points that we could focus on this topic. But I hope that the ones that I have to present to you today will be helpful for you and that you'll take them into consideration. Hope I push the right button. The first one is food for the soul. You know, the Bible does have food for the soul, and it tells us that. Maybe a little indirectly, but how many times do you eat a day? How often do you eat? We at least eat, most people eat at least three times a day. You know, sometimes I only eat twice a day, but it's because I'll eat at 11 o'clock, eat a big meal, and then I won't eat again until I get home from work. But most people eat three times a day. You eat snacks in between, you know, let's say we got three good meals a day and then we snack two or three more times a day. How many times do you get in your Bible and study a day? Probably not that often. I mean, lucky to do it once. Most people, if they do some type of daily study, some type of daily devotional, it's either done in the morning or it's done at night. Or, you know, some people better than myself will do it twice. I would love to do that, and that's what I hope to be able to do. But then you also look at the time that you take to study. How much time do you take to eat? If you have a sandwich, it might take you 10 minutes, you know. You eat as fast as I do sometimes, it might take you less. Or if you got a 5-course meal, you're going to take 30 minutes, you know, maybe 45 minutes if you've got friends over to hang out and chit-chat and, you know, fellowship. How long do you take to study? Do you take a few minutes? Do you take 30 minutes? It's just things that makes you think. But The Bible has food for the soul. It has milk necessary for the spiritual growth of the babe and strong meat to sustain the older, mature Christian. And when we're a new Christian, we need to be fed like a babe. You're not going to go and jump into Revelations and try to understand all that whenever you're a new Christian. I mean, there's mature Christians that don't do that, that don't want to do that. It's not something easy to discern. So you take things little by little. You know, as you learn more, you're able to take on more. You're able to understand the Bible more, discern it more. Then once you mature in Christ, you're ready for the meat of the Bible. Now I say all that, and we're going to read the scripture to kind of back that up. We'll look at 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 through 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. And we'll look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 through 14. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason or use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know, as we read there and as we talked about before, you know, when you're a babe, you desire that milk. I mean, you're not going to feed a baby meat. You're just not going to. For one, they'll choke on it. Well, it's like a Christian. You feed a new Christian Revelations, and they're going to choke on it. I mean, it's not going to be something that they're going to be able to understand. You know, there's some aspects of it, yes, but you get to the hard, strong meat of that, and it's hard to understand. So we need to study the Bible so that we can grow spiritually. Number two, we need to study the Bible to have knowledge of the Bible. A working knowledge of the Bible will arm us against the difficulties and hardships of life. It has a solution for every condition and problem we might run into. It can be used in every emergency from the cradle to the grave. You know, you looking at the Bible as a manual, it tells you how to fix things. Fix things in your life and to help you out with things. I've had to deal with several deaths in my life. My grandparents, my brother, my dad, uncle. And I can tell you, without this manual, without this, and without Jesus, I probably would not be here standing in front of you. You probably wouldn't know me. My wife probably wouldn't know me. Because I would not have gone down the path that I went down. I would not have been guided down that path through the Lord's manual, through His Bible and His Word. We'll look at Romans 15:4. I know Jason used this morning, so we've read it once today. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. You know, the Bible as a whole wasn't written just for the sake of recording history. It was written as a manual for our life and life circumstances. Some people think that maybe we should overlook parts of the Bible, overlook the Old Testament, because it's the Old Covenant. No, there's no sense in having that. We don't need it. Just as we talked about the Ten Commandments this morning, we still need those. I mean, they apply to our lives in some way. So as we see in Romans 15:4, the Bible as a whole was written for our learning. You know, Zane used the example last week about Uzzah in in 2 Samuel chapter 6, 6 through 7, where he did what he thought was a good thing. He reached up to put his hand on the Ark of the Covenant to keep it from falling. And he thought that's going to be a good thing, because we don't want it to hit the ground. We don't want to touch the ground. Well, when he did that, he knew not to do it, but he did it because he thought it was a good thing. Well, we learn that God became angry with him and smote him dead. Well, just because he thought it was a good thing doesn't mean it was a good thing. So what I believe we learn from that, like I said, just because, you know, we think we're doing something good, we think that we're doing a good thing, but it's not. It may not be a good thing. It doesn't mean it's a good thing. If it's not something we've been instructed by God to do, then it's probably not a good thing. Number three, we study the Bible to be ready and show ourselves approved. We must study the Bible to have the approval of God and to be a ready workman and to handle correctly the word of truth. We'll look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 through 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then we'll look at 1 Peter. Did I go too far there? Well, I passed it up somehow. 1 Peter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready to always give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We need to be ready for that co-worker that has questions. Hey, why do you go to church? Why do you believe in God? Why does your church do this and not this? Why do y'all believe that? That's insane. Surely you've heard that before. Why do you believe that? Well, the Bible tells us just like this. It doesn't say, well, maybe you can do it this way, or maybe you can do it that way. It says do it this way, and that's the way it needs to be done. We need to be able to be ready for those questions. And then whenever we do answer those questions and we convince them, hopefully, to do a study with them, well, we need to be ready to have that study. We need to be ready to study with that co-worker and rightly divide the word of truth. How can we answer questions if we don't study the Bible? We can't. How can we have a successful study with someone if we don't study the Bible? We can't. And that's why it's important to really dig into the word, to learn what he has to say, to learn the correct way that we need to do things. And number four, it's already up there, to safeguard against error. A knowledge of the Bible is the only safeguard against fatal error that we have. It keeps us from doing something that might keep us out of heaven and keep us from following the world. It keeps us from following the world. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and search the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. And then 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of good, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. You know, there are a lot of things out there that are trying to sway us one way or another. They're trying to get us to go to the bar, or go to the club, or, you know, let's go do this and get in trouble. You know you're going to get in trouble when they tell you what you're going to do. But still, sometimes you decide to do it. I got plenty of stories about that. But the Bible will keep us from swaying to the wrong path, and it keeps us on the right path. The Bible's truths keep us from following false prophets, and as I said, keep us from going down the wrong path. We should study the Bible daily, receive the word with readiness of mind, and follow the Lord's commandments. And if we do this, we will be safeguarded from fatal error. Number five, we're to study the Bible because it's our standard, for it to be our standard. The Bible will be our standard of judgment in the last day. The Bible is our standard to live by. We have to study the Bible so that we can receive the Lord's Word. John chapter 12, verse 8. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, have one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Revelations 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. We will be judged one day. We will be judged based on our works and deeds. The things that we've done in this body, whether it's good or bad, that's what we will be judged on. The Bible, the Lord's Word, is a standard in which we should live our life by. Everything in the Bible lays out a manual for how we should live our life. We're going to look at another verse here. I don't have it on here. It's Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6. Sean gave me this right before church started. Sean, does that go through 10? Is it just 6 through 9? Okay, that's what I was asking. Sorry. Okay, so it's Deuteronomy chapter 6, 6 through 9. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. What do you think about that? When you wake up in the morning, when you sit down, when you walk by your children, when you walk back by your children, whenever you go, I mean, do we do that? Do we look at these words every time we get up in the morning? Do we look at them before we go to bed at night? Do we look at them before we tell our kids good night? Do we read it to them every night before they go to bed? The list could go on and on. And I'll confess, I don't. I wish that I did, and I don't have a good excuse for it. There's not. And I hope, through this, that I do better. I've learned the ways, why I need to, the reasons that I need to, and it's evident. It's evident we need to, and, like I said, it's a manual. It's a standard for our life. It's the way we need to live our life. If Zane and I hadn't followed that manual the way that it said, like I said, it may not run. We may have tried to start it up, but it not run, and he just wasted however much it cost for that top end. Well, you think about that with the Bible in your life. If you don't do it the way the Bible says, if you skip corners at the end, you may have just wasted your whole life. You may end up going to hell and not going to heaven because you didn't do it the way the Bible said to do it. Do you really want to put that kind of effort? The kind of effort of thinking, I've done everything I'm supposed to. I'm doing the way that I think it should be. It's okay if I don't go to church. I can praise the Lord out here and I can, well, are you really doing it the way the Bible said? Probably not. Do you want to waste your whole life doing all this that you think is good and it not be good in the end and then you not go to heaven? Is it worth it? No. I want to spend my time doing what the Bible says to do, the way I'm supposed to do it, so that I do have hope of going to heaven. I don't know that I want to share the gentleman's name, but you might figure it out. There's a man that passed away not too long ago, and it's not my dad. is a man that I'd become close to, thought a lot of him. We talked about church quite a bit, and I got a message on Facebook from his daughter-in-law and said, "Hey, I've got something for you from Bob." And I just told you who it was. Awesome, huh? Anyway, it doesn't really matter. It's Bob Frankenberry. They said, "We got something." We were going through his stuff, and there's something that he left that had your name on it. And I was thinking, well, that's nice, but what could it be? You know, I'm thinking, he did woodwork. I like to do a little bit of woodwork and something. Well, did he want to give me a saw? Well, why would he do that? Why wouldn't he just give it to somebody? You know, my mind was racing. So Kathy got a hold of my wife and told her what it was and said, "We'd like to get with you sometime." And, you know, we were going to keep it, and but we opened it up and saw that Britt's name was on it. And so we want to respect Bob's wishes and give it to him. And so she came up to me and she said, "I want you to walk with me," because I was at the nurse's station. She said, "I want you to walk with me." I said, "Okay. Are we going to hold hands and skip or what?" You know, I mean, so we start walking and she says, "I know Kathy got a hold of you, and you know, she called me and, she told me what it is, and I want to tell you so that you're fair warned and so you don't just like break down in front of them." I said, "Okay, well, what is it?" And I'm thinking, what's going to make me cry? What can he give me that's going to make me cry? I mean, really, you know? And, she said, "Well, it's the one thing he carried with him all the time, everywhere he went. His pocket knife? No, it's his Bible. He wanted you to have his Bible. His life manual, the thing that he kept next to his bed, kept in his truck, took to church with him every Sunday. He wants you to have it." Why me? Why not a son? Why not a grandchild? Why not? I guess I'll ask him that one day, hopefully. But, you know, to give me something that's that precious, something that he lived his life by. I'm going to have notes from him that I'm going to, whenever I'm reading that Bible, that I'm going to see. And that's going to help me. He thought enough of me to give me his life manual. How awesome is that? Pretty awesome. And if you knew Bob, you knew that he was a pretty awesome man. Pretty awesome man. Love that guy. Always, like I told Kathy, I said, you know, I've known Bob since I started working here and come really close to him. And both of my grandfathers died when I was young, and I kind of looked to him as a grandfather, you know. I went over to his house several times because he had computer problems, and he'd always call me up. "Hey, Britt, it's your buddy Bob. I got computer problems again," you know. But anyway, he just a great man, and that really meant a lot to me that he thought of me in that way. So as we can see, the things that we've gone over today, you know, if we need to study the Bible. We need to follow what it says. We need to keep it close to our hearts. You know, if we don't, when our life comes to an end and we stand before the Lord on judgment day, will we be turned away? Or will we spend eternity with him? Will we spend it in hell? Or will we spend it with the Lord because we studied His Word, kept it close to our hearts, and did as it said, and didn't guess at it?